Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shreem from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, The Descent of the River Ganges, text number 22 and 23. And we'll read number 22. Yasyadya Asit Guna Vigraho Mahan Vijnana Jisnyo Bhagavan Aja Kila Yat Sambhavo Aham Tri Vrita Sva Tejasa Vaikarikam Dhamasam Andriyam Shrije Yasyajya Asit Guna Vigraho Mahan Vigyana Jisnyo Vagafan Ajakila Yatsambhavoham Trivata Svatejasa Vaikarikam dhamasam aindriyam sruje Yasyajya asit guna vigraho mahan Vijnana jisnyom bhagavan ajakila Yatsambhavoham nshivatasvatejasa Vaikarikam dhamasam aindriyam sruje Yasyajya asit guna vigraho mahan Vijnana jisnyom bhagavan ajakila Yatsambhavoham nshivatasvatejasa Vaikarikam dhamasam aindriyam sruje Yasyajya asit guna vigraho mahan Vijnana jisnyom bhagavan ajakila Yatsambhavoham jivatasvatejasa Vaikari dhamsa aindriyam sruje Yasyajya asit guna vigraho mahan Gyan is Nyo Bhagavan Pajakya. Nyat Sambhoham Jivatas Tejasa. Kari Thomas Ainjum Sriji. Yasya. Actually, there's another verse. I'll read the other verse. Ete vayam yasya vase mahatmana stita sukunta iva sutta yantrita mahan aham vaikankrite tamasendriya shajhama sarveyad anugrahad idam. Yasya, from whom? Adya, the beginning. Asit, there was. Guna vigraha, the incarnation of the material qualities. Mahan, the total material energy. Vijnana, of full knowledge. Disya, the reservoir. Bhagavan, the most powerful. Aja, Lord Brahma. Kila, certainly. Yet, from whom? Sambhava, born. Aham, I. Trivrta, having three varieties according to the three modes of nature. Svatejasa, by my material strength. Vaikarikam, all of the demigods. Tamsam, material elements. Indriyam, the senses. Sruje, I create. Ete, all of these. Vayam, we. Yasya, of whom? Vashe, under the control. Mahatmana, great personalities. Stita, situated. Sukunta, vultures. Iva, like. Sutrayantrita, bound by rope. Mahan, the Mahatattva. Aham, I. Vaikrita, the demigods. Tamasa, the five material elements. Indriya, senses. Srijama, we create. Sarve, all of us. Yet, of whom? Anugrahat, by the mercy. Idam, this material world. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. From that Supreme Personality of Godhead appears Lord Brahma, whose body is made from the total material energy, the reservoir of intelligence, predominated by the passionate mode of material nature. From Lord Brahma, I myself am born as a representation of false ego known as Rudra. By my own power, I create all the other demigods, the five elements, and the senses. Therefore, I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than any of us, and under whose control are situated all the demigods, material elements, and senses. And even Lord Brahma, and I myself, like birds bound by a rope, only by the Lord's grace can we create, maintain, and annihilate the material world. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Being. Purport. A summary of creation is given in this verse. From Sankarsan, Mahavishnu expands, and from Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu expands. Lord Brahma, who was born of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, fathers Lord Shiva, from whom all other demigods gradually evolve. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu are incarnations of the different material qualities. Lord Vishnu is actually above all material qualities, but he accepts control of Satvagun, the mode of goodness, to maintain the universe. Lord Brahma is born from the Mahatattva. Brahma creates the entire universe. Lord Vishnu maintains it, and Lord Shiva annihilates it. The Supreme Personality of Godhead controls all the most important demigods, especially Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Exactly as the owner of a bird controls it by binding it with a rope. Sometimes vultures are controlled in this way. Om Gyanata Marandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshom Litam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Mukham Grudva Chalang Pangun Langhayate Grinyat Kripa Taraham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarnam Vanchakapa Tivyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanevya Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Kedadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this verse is explaining the position of Lord Brahma, very powerful personality. Here it says that he's the reservoir of intelligence predominated by the passionate mode of material nature. So, Lord Brahma is, of course, very intelligent, a great devotee. One time there was a devotee that saying that Lord Brahma, he was a conditioned soul. And Prabhupada heard this from another devotee, and he said, "Who says that? Who's speaking such nonsense?" And there's different Lord Brahmas. Prabhupada said, "This Lord Brahma is a pure devotee in this universe." So he's a very great Vaishnava. And some places Prabhupada says that the living entity is first birth in the material world is Lord Brahma. So not all of them are pure devotees, but Prabhupada said this, the Lord Brahma in this universe is a pure devotee, very intelligent. And this, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained that Krishna is Diyam Pati, that he is the Lord of intelligence. And Prabhupada explains what intelligence is. It's to see things in the proper perspective. This is intelligence. To see what can be utilized in the service of Krishna, what should be avoided. So this is intelligence. So many things in this world that we can use in the service of Krishna, this is called Yukta Vairagya. And some things we have to reject. So, of course, by hearing from Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, we're able to understand what can be utilized in the service of Krishna, what can't be utilized in the service of Krishna, and how to develop our intelligence. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so intelligent, it's described that he was like a walking encyclopedia, so intelligent. But he desired to take initiation from Gorkhasore Das Babaji, who, by material standards, wasn't intelligent at all. He couldn't even write his name. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the father of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, requested him, "You take initiation from him, because he's a great Vaishnava." Spiritually, very, very intelligent. Materially, someone would think, "You know, what's so special about him?" But because he was absorbed in Krishna, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took initiation from him. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Tesam sadakti yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam didami buddhi yoganam yenam apyantite." To those who are constantly devoted to me and worship me with love, I give them the understanding. I give them the intelligence. by which they can come to me. So this is intelligence, actually, to think of Krishna, to always want to please Krishna. Yeah. This is rare. Manushyanam sahasresu kaschid yadati siddhi. Out of many thousands and thousands, Prabhupada says in one class, out of many millions and millions, hardly one desires to achieve perfection. And of those who are desiring to achieve perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So it's very rare for someone to desire the perfection of life. But this is intelligence. To desire to give up this material existence and take to spiritual life, to achieve the highest goal of love of Krishna. This is the most intelligent person in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's also stated, samsara kupe patitam visayer mushitekshanam grastam kala hinatmanam konyas tratum adhishra, that the intelligence of the living entity is stolen away by the activities of sense gratification. One's pure vision is stolen away by the activities of sense gratification. And in this condition, one falls down into the well of repeated birth and death. Who but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can save one from such a condition? So this is an interesting verse, that the living entity, his intelligence is stolen away by sense gratification. Because by sense gratification, one's illusory existence becomes solidified. One thinks that one is the body by sense gratification. There's an interesting example of one man. He was walking and he fell into a well. As he was falling, he grabbed onto something. It was a root going from one side of the well to the other side of the well. So he was thinking, whew, boy, saved on that one. So then he's hanging there for a while, and then he looks down and there's a poisonous snake on the bottom of the well. Whew. Good thing this root is here. A couple minutes later, he hears a roar. Looks up and there's a tiger looking down at him, roaring at him. Saying, boy, this is not good. So then a couple minutes later, he hears a rat chewing on one of the roots. Yeah. And he looks over on the other side, there's another rat chewing on the other root. Oh my God, man, what am I going to do now? So he's chewing and chewing. And then he feels a drop on his head. Every couple seconds he feels a drop. He looks up and there's a honeycomb hanging on a tree, and there's honey dropping on his head. Looks up, puts his tongue out, and he's getting the honey, drops, and then he thinks, life isn't so bad after all. So that's material life. You know, death is coming. The tiger is compared to the threefold miseries. You know, Durga, she rides on a tiger, right? And she has this trident, the three miseries, adiyatmaka, adibodhika, adidaivaka. Miseries coming from our own body and mind, miseries coming from other living entities, miseries coming from nature. And this white and black rat, they're compared to night and day. Ayur Harati Vayapung Sang Udyan Astang Chayanosov. For every rising and setting of the sun, a day is lost, except for that person who utilizes his time in glorifying the all good personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. Yeah. And the honey that's dropping, this is the sense gratification. Yeah. One is in a very precarious situation in this material world. But he gets a little sense gratification. And he thinks, oh, It's okay. I think Prabhupada gives the example of in India, if a thief was caught, what they would do is they would take him on a boat in a river, and they would dunk his head in the water until he was almost dead. And then they'd lift his head, and he would take a breath. Oh, so nice. And then they'd put his head down again until he's almost dead, and he'd lift his head. Ah, oh, fresh air. So that's the pleasure of material life. A lot of pain, a little pleasure. It's like yesterday I had a tooth pulled. Very painful. Of course, they had some anesthesia there, but still, it wears out. The material world, it's a, you know, I mean, how much pleasure do I get from my teeth? You know? Yeah. No pleasure. But so much pain can be there. Yeah. Or how much pleasure do we get from our finger? But if your finger is cut off somehow, oh, one friend of mine recently had it cut off. Very painful, can't imagine. But how much pleasure do we get from it? No pleasure. So this body is the cause of so much misery, but how much pleasure? The tongue, maybe a little pleasure from the tongue, genitals. You know, you see something, you hear something, but most of the body causes so much pain. It's like you can get cancer on any part of your body, any part of it. I asked one doctor, "How many types of cancer are there?" And he said, "Well, as many. What did he say? He said, any part of the body, you can get cancer." Any part of it. So it's a bad deal. We got a bad deal. You know, we were in the spiritual world thinking, oh, I'd like to try out being Krishna. And then we blooped, came to this world. Everybody's trying to be God. A lot of competition. A lot of frustration. So an intelligent person will try to understand his real position, which is the eternal servant of Krishna. It's like there's so many intelligent people, materially intelligent people on this planet. You know, so many PhDs. But you ask them, who are you? I'm Joe Smith. Well, is that all you are? Yeah. Of course, what do you mean? What kind of question is that? Yeah, no idea who they really are. But you go to a bhakta, just like Bhakta David's been here for a few months, he asks, who are you, Bhakta David? I'm eternal servant of Krishna. Yeah. So he may not have so many PhDs, or just someone just born in the movements, you know, 8 years old, asks him, who are you? I'm eternal servant of Krishna. So this is intelligence, to understand who we are. So we're very fortunate that we have all this information in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, helping us understand who we are. Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, this knowledge is the king of education. Rajaguhyam is the most secret of all secrets. So someone might ask, well, why is it such a big secret? We're distributing books all over the world. We've distributed almost 500 million books around the world, and so many devotees, so many people reading the books. How is it a secret? Well, we've heard so many times, for instance, that we're not the body. But how many of us actually realize that we're not the body, that we're 100% just the soul? So that's the secret, to actually realize this knowledge. It's very, very difficult. This is the secret. One time a devotee, he said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I've been reading your books so much, but I forget so much. So Prabhupada said, you keep reading, you keep practicing, and eventually Krishna will reveal everything to you. So he had to be patient also. And eventually this great secret is revealed. Rajaviji, Rajaguyam, Pavitram. It's the purest knowledge. So the pure vision of the living entity is stolen away by sense gratification. But this knowledge is so pure that the more we hear it, the more we get purified. The more we chant the holy name of Krishna, the more we get purified. The more we come before the deity, the more we get purified. And when we actually become pure, then we'll be happy. As long as we're impure, we can't be fully satisfied. Because this is what happiness is, to be pure. And Krishna, He is the most pure. So the closer that we get to Krishna, the more we become purified. The more we experience pleasure. Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure, the reservoir of purity, the reservoir of knowledge. So the closer we get to Krishna, the more satisfied we become. And the more we distance ourselves from Krishna, then the more frustration we experience. So here also in this verse, it's mentioned that Lord Brahma, He is the creator. Vishnu is the maintainer. Shiva, He is the Lord Shiva is the He who forms destruction. So amongst our very intelligent scientists, they say that the creation was from a big bang, from a chunk. And you ask them, well, where did the chunk come from? I don't know. Don't ask these questions. Well, why did it explode? I don't know. Don't ask so many questions. But when there's destruction, when there's an explosion, what happens? Chaos, destruction, not order. So what they're saying is from this explosion, all these planets, universes, people, animals, relationships, it all comes from a big bang. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Just like imagine if we put a huge pile of wood in the front of the temple here, huge pile of wood. Put some electrical wires in there, put some pipes in there, stick a dynamite, put some dynamite under it, blow it up. It goes up 300 yards and lands into a beautiful house. Yeah. Not much chance, huh? But this is what they're saying is even more ridiculous. I mean, just like the sun, it's so amazing. Just like now it's going north. Gradually it's going north, and then we're going to have summer. It's going from the east to the west every day. No one's in anxiety that the sun's not going to rise tomorrow. You know, it's for millions of years. So it's going north now, and at 1 second, at one moment, it's going to start going south again. And then it's going to keep on going, you know. And then it's going to start going north again for millions of years. And all the stars, this creation is just, it's phenomenal. It's just amazing. So this is our big, intelligent leaders of society, the Brahmins of society. It all comes from a big bang. It's just like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. And now we have this nice book, Rethinking Darwinism. Nice, very nice book. You know, this. It's just such a joke, you know, that we came from monkeys. Prabhupada said, well, they may have come from monkeys, but we come from Krishna. And Prabhupada, many times he expressed to his Bhaktivedanta Institute that he wanted this Darwinism smashed. He said, you kicked him in the face, you know, and due to karma, Prabhu, or resident here. He's the kick in the face guru of our ISKCON society. he talks so much nonsense. Just like they have the missing link, right? There'll always be a missing link. And Prabhupada one time he said, the missing link is my boot in your face. It's misleading. This idea is misleading so many people because they're with this concoction. People think that when the body is dead, that's it. That we didn't come from God. There's no God. It's just, you know, this all happened by chance. By there's no supreme being creating us. You know, it just happened by, you know, combination of chemicals and genes, and you know, that's all it is. So it's just completely distorted the minds of millions of people all over the world. So fortunately, we have very intelligent devotees that are smashing these ideas. And of course, Krishna, he is the maintainer. This is the most difficult part. Just like when we got this temple, it wasn't that difficult to move in here. And it won't be that difficult to leave, but ask Savas Prabhu how hard it is to maintain. He'll tell you a lot. Not easy to maintain. It's like our society. It wasn't difficult to start our society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But to maintain the society, to maintain the purity, very difficult. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura, I was just reading this book that's recently written about him. And he was very, very disturbed that so many members of the Gaudiya Math, they were just giving up the preaching mood and becoming interested more in sense gratification. He became so disgusted. Srila Prabhupada even mentioned that he left because he was disgusted, actually. Left. He wasn't very old, 63, when he passed away. So he said, he was saying how the purity of this Gaudiya Math is what is most important. If we don't have purity, then what is the use? He gave the example of if you have an electrical plant that has no energy, you may have thousands and thousands of light bulbs, but no light. Because there's no energy at the powerhouse. So if there's no purity in the society, there may be so many devotees, but if there's no purity, then it's just, it's lightless. There's no light in the bulb. So this is what's most important. Is purity, and that comes from desiring to please Krishna instead of desiring to please our senses. Sometimes we try to enjoy this society. It's difficult to give up this enjoying spirit. So we try to dovetail this enjoying spirit in enjoying the society. But Krishna is the enjoyer. Bhoktaram yogitapasam sarvalokam hesam surdam sarvutam gyatvam santi mishtati. There was a devotee in San Diego distributing books, and he received a letter from Srila Prabhupada saying, when you're preaching Krishna consciousness, do not cheat. Preach. Don't cheat. And he was surprised because they thought he was making a nice presentation of Krishna consciousness while he's distributing books. So he wrote back Prabhupada. And he said, Prabhupada, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. I thought I was preaching properly. You said that I shouldn't cheat, and if I'm cheating, then it's not right. Can you explain this a little further? So Prabhupada wrote back. He said, if you think that you're the enjoyer, that you're the proprietor, that you're the friend, then you're cheating while you're preaching. So whatever we're doing, we should be doing it with the intention of giving pleasure to Krishna. And understanding that everything belongs to Him. As soon as we think even one piece of paper is ours, then we're Maya. Nothing belongs to us. Everything is Krishna's. And Krishna, He's the friend of everyone. So the more we understand this, the more we're actually preaching Krishna consciousness. And the more we'll appreciate what has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada. So it's quarter after. Is there any question or comment? Fingers are being pointed everywhere. Yes, Prabhu.
In the Satya Yuga, people lived the longest. So how do you draw the right balance between pursuing a long liberty and a good life in the material world and not be uselessly attracting yourself to the being, you know, bewildered? How?
Okay.
You don't want to pursue material things just for the sense gratification, but everyone should eat good food. That is part of having a good society.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Okay. Satya Yuga, they lived long lives, and this was the very pious souls lived in that age. So, why shouldn't we want to live a long life? Prabhupada actually said we should try to live a long life because we have a lot of purification to go through. So we should try to, you know, live a long life, live a healthy life. This is becoming more and more a focus in our society now. As we are seeing, many devotees are leaving their bodies because of not living a very healthy life. So, it is very important. We have healthy prasadam, at the same time tasty. Prabhupada said our only sense gratification is the prasadam, so we should have good prasadam. So, yeah. Anything else? Yes, Savas Prabhu.
You know, in terms of Darwinism, atheistic theory, and so many other things that are going on in society, it appears that in some relationship, the religion itself has maybe something to do with it also. Because if you take a look at society today, the young kids and everything, they've more or less become agnostic or atheistic because, you know, today you can get like an eye touch, you know, and that eye touch can do so many miraculous things. And then you hear, you know, like then they're introduced to something like, you know, Adam and Eve and a snake, and from that, you know, that's pretty boring. It's like boring stuff for a young adult, young mind. They need something more exciting in terms of what is this creation? What is the purpose of life? And then not only that, and even in those particular faiths or religions, there's no interaction. There's, you know, they don't. Once a week, you go to church and you hear some boring guy get up and talk, mm-hmm. and you know, he may just say something that's really like nowhere. So, you know, it appears that religion. My point is that it appears that religion maybe has something to do with all this kind of atheistic theory, and maybe that's why Darwin actually even became inspired to speak about these things, because it made more sense and it was a little bit more exciting mm-hmm. than to hear about Adam and Eve in some garden that had a problem and a snake came along and, you know, enticed them to bite an apple. And from that, this is our existence. It's a bit cartoonish.
Yeah.
To think, you know, how is this possible? So it appears that I guess I'm being a devil's advocate here, you know, like, what can you say about that in terms of what's wrong with Darwinism?
Well, actually, Darwin was a theist. He very much believed in God. But what he, like you said, you know, I think in the Bible it says that the planet is like 6,000 or 10,000 years old or something like that. And he was traveling around the world, and he could see, you know, so many architectural formations, and you can understand there's no way it's only 10,000 years or whatever. I don't know how many thousand. Anybody know exactly what? 6,000. Really? Well, I mean, it's very easy to see that, you know, things on this planet are millions of years old. So this is where he lost a lot of his faith. And then he started, you know, going deeper and deeper and deeper. But yeah, this is, you know, some religions on this planet are definitely encouraging atheism. I mean, if you don't believe, if you just have a wrong thought, a sinful thought, if you don't believe in Jesus, then you go to hell. A thought crime, you go to hell and burn forever. And you burn forever. I mean, that's it. you just burn. So, yeah, this is one of the reasons that people become atheists. So we have a positive alternative. You know, we have Krishna. You go to the spiritual world, talking about high tech. I mean, there's kapha viksha trees there, whatever you want. You know, iPod is nothing, or iTouch is nothing. You go to the spiritual world, you get whatever you want, it just happens. Try to, you know, get one of the Bill Gates, you know, get something like that together. No. So this is, we're offering them something very, very high tech, something much more wonderful.
It also seems that when you talk about religion, why do you need it if a person is religious or wanting to be religious or is religious or considered to be religious? There's no what restrictions are there? In other words, you know, they don't seem to profess that you can't do anything. You can do anything you want.
You can do anything
really.
You want. Just believe.
There's no restriction for
just
you.
Just believe. That's
yeah. So what's the difference if I'm religious or not? Because everybody's doing the same thing anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're going to be a priest, well, you can do whatever you want. Well, what is it you can't do that a person that isn't a priest can do?
Yeah. So that's one of the big problems.
Yeah, they don't seem to like have any, and plus that, it appears that they allow just even the most simplistic person to make their own judgment and evaluation of who God is. You can talk to an ordinary person, they'll tell you, well, I don't go to church, I don't believe in any religion. But when you get into it with them, they can tell you what God is. You know, they'll tell you, well, no, you're wrong. Because this is what God is. This is what I believe. So you can see Kali Yuga is a very strange place. Because even a most, simple or simplistic person has their philosophy or understanding of God, and you can't budge them because they think that they're qualified to have that opinion. So you can see the chaos of Kali Yuga, and of course the scientific theory increases that chaos. It indulges those simplistic individuals to expand their puffed up false ego, and this is Kali Yuga.
So we're very fortunate that we have Srila Prabhupada's books to shine light on this Kali Yugites. Yeah. Nakama, did you want to say something real quick or ask a question or comment, I hope?
Just in the same vein of this Darwinian idea, just to prove how the modern religionists, creationists, have lack of philosophy and understanding. There's even a recent comment by the Pope in which he's trying to accommodate the evolutionary idea. They're trying to synthesize the two.
Right.
For lack of philosophy on their side, they're trying to and to avoid losing the masses, they're trying to figure out how we can accommodate this, how we can compromise in order to keep our flock and whatever money.
Yes, Rabu. Oh, it's not on.
Another thing came to my mind off of the same point, that Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Krishna consciousness, to use a potentially misleading term, is fairly passionate, in that he empowered a lot of young people to do things that were basically very dynamic, and he also gave them full, he accommodated full scope of their individuality and their desires and initiative and all these things, in which he was able to spread Krishna consciousness through these people. And it seems like it's important to maintain that principle, but I want to qualify that it's not passion. There's a purport in which Prabhupada says one should engage in devotional service as if in the mode of passion. And the underline is as if. Because Krishna consciousness essentially does accommodate all of one's tendency to desire, but it doesn't indulge in desires that will degrade us. It's like this verse says, it's not part of the mode of passion necessarily. But that's that's an aspect of the personality.
Enthusiasm can be misunderstood as being passion. So it's important to be enthusiastic in our service to Krishna.
And to engage our desires in that service. Spontaneous devotion means it's all based on kama, on your desire.
Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.